Heavenly Father, we surrender the center space and we beg you, come and occupy it. We thank you for changing us so that our leadership and mission might be worth following. Amen. Please be seated. I went so far as to rent an actual tent for my first big Autry House event. Aztec was out here setting it up to shield what I assumed would be hordes of Rice students from the punishing August sun. The year was 2012. I was in the midst of my very first orientation week as the new Episcopal chaplain to Rice. It was the first year of the replant of a storied student ministry that had dwindled to a whopping size of zero students by the time I arrived in February. I'd gone to the big orientation week activity fair on campus. I'd shucked breakfast tacos and snow cones with the Lutherans. I'd spent my first real money on spiffy, slick pamphlets that I ran off at Kinko's that extolled the pedigree and offerings of the as-yet unexistent Autry House in bold but enigmatic terms that invited people to our O-Week barbecue on the Autry House lawn that would kick off our program year. And I blew through all of those pamphlets. I printed out probably 300 or 400 of those things, and every one of those pamphlets left in the hands of a new student. So I was feeling good. I thought surely those pamphlets would attract at least 20 or 30 curious souls interested in barbecue and maybe also Episcopal Jesus. But when the hour came, not a single solitary student wandered over for our big barbecue. We had giant tripod speakers blaring music I'd painstakingly chosen on account of being appropriately hip. We had huge tables set up piled high with steaming Good Company brisket and ribs and potato salad and jambalaya. We had scores of empty folding chairs that I'd rented from Amazon for like $1 million a pop. And not one single Rice student. I sat there in the blistering heat under that big tent, listening to my appropriately hip music, looking at empty chairs and cold brisket for 3 excruciating hours. And in the end, all of the food ended up with the security guards and grateful waystation guests. I tell you, who loved this was Ray LeMay. He thought this was the funniest thing that had ever happened to Palmer. I think that was the day that Ray decided that he might like me. And from then on, he would never let me forget my first big barbecue. I'm pretty sure the first thing he'll say to me at the resurrection of the dead is, "Remember your first big barbecue?" But I did have my first real taste of college ministry, and my first moment of actually grasping how long the resurrection of Autry House might take. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. Waiting patiently for new life has been the hardest part of this replanting work. Wanting to have something to show the world, some sign that Jesus Christ was engaged in what we were doing here, made that waiting excruciating and painful. I felt powerless and insignificant for a large portion of my time at Autry House. We imagine resurrection as this blessed immediacy, a spiritually funded transformation that is instant and total. But my time at Autry House has proven to me that immediate is not exactly a part of God's vocabulary. And what else would we expect from the fount of all being who sits outside of time and orchestrates the whole history of the cosmos? Getting from the split bare seed to the spiritual body to be is a slow, organic process of subtle change, and it must be fueled by continual replenishment from the water of life. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. Perishability, dishonor, and weakness are the trio of evils that dog every human life and menace every human endeavor. When we ache with waiting for Jesus, when we are short on patience, longing for that split seed to sprout, for the shape of our resurrection to be manifest, we are beset by this trio of evils. During the leanest years at Autry House, when the diocese was paying me $65,000 a year to tend a flock of 5 or 8 people, the trio of evils would jump me on my drive home of a Sunday evening. I would be preoccupied with my own vocational fragility, morbidly afraid that the bishop would decide that I was committing some form of elaborate wage theft and fire me. I'd feel ashamed at how small my flock was. I'd feel the weakness in my bones. I would dwell on how my preaching and my pastoral care seemed incapable, impotent to draw in Rice students. They passed us by, or worse yet, they dropped in, were unimpressed, and never returned. During those years, I was intimately acquainted with Autry House's corpse, the rotted, nailed shut patio doors of St. Bede's, the dingy, trodden carpets and the cast-off, overstuffed furniture, the quiet, dusty, neglected feeling of our space. These things were the split seed from which God in Christ was bringing forth something new. But what drew my eye was not the tiny new living thing, but the perishability and the dishonor and the weakness of what was dead. Early last semester in October, my students sent me a selfie. Every fall, they organize an Autry House crawl that moves across the Rice campus. Think of it as a progressive dinner with booze and no food. For obvious reasons, I have no part in planning or underwriting these crawls and demand total plausible deniability of their existence, but I secretly love that they happen. Our students sent me this goofy selfie taken at an awkward angle, an angle straining to catch a huge crowd of blurry, happy, ruddy faces, these beautiful, brilliant children of God, sandwiched together in love and in mirth, brothers and sisters who know that they belong with each other and know that they belong with Christ Jesus, and all because of what we have done here with God. And I knew in that moment that I was free to leave. Because after years of worrying over a corpse, Autry House finally had a heartbeat. Resurrection had happened. That little split seed had sprouted into a young plant that was robust enough to fend off the wind and the cold. And the work that I came here 7 years ago determined to do was done. So I leave you now full of gratitude. I am so grateful to Neil and to David and to Liz and to Linda and to Sam and to Jim and Dub and Alex and John and Henry and Kit and all of the other clergy who have been partners and colleagues with me here. And I am grateful to you, generous people of Palmer, who have given money and time and food so that our students could know Jesus in the fullness of their bellies. And I leave you with this lovely young college church, resurrected from the split seed of what Bishop Quinn and Harris Masterson and the Autrys and the Palmers planted almost 100 years ago. And I love what we have made here with all of my heart, and I always will. But it is time for this little plant to have a new gardener, and God willing, a better and more capable gardener than me. And I hope that you will love and support that person with the same kindness and generosity that you have shown me over the last 7 years. Thank you all so very much.